In this podcast, we talk to Harry Mayhead, who is a fantastic ambassador for the Multi Schools Council, and we talk about his role in helping to set up the Multi Schools Football Club, but also his experience of Marketfield School, which is a special needs school, and his views on how children and others are seen within the world and society when they may have a special educational need or disability. So, Harry, the Multi Schools Football Club, what is it?
Basically, what we like to do, what we want to do, is create opportunities for people with SEN, so that could be autism and various other learning difficulties and various other disabilities. And we just want kids to enjoy their football in an inclusive and free environment, really. Yeah. And that's what we really like to achieve, is kids to have fun and enjoy themselves.
So, yeah, if there's children that are listening to this podcast, Harry, and they've maybe gone to another football club before and they haven't been treated very well, or they could have even been bullied, what would you say to those children?
I'd say come to us, really, because we make you feel really welcome. We've got really nice, welcoming players. We've got really mixed abilities as well, so it's everyone's welcome, really. And
yeah, do you think that's the most important thing, Harry, is that people enjoy playing football?
Yeah, definitely, because I'm sure that people have heard various sportsmen say, if you don't enjoy the sport you're in, then you're in the wrong sport.
Absolutely.
So what I always say is, the most important thing is to enjoy people. When I was younger, because of experiences I had when I was really young, it made it hard for me to enjoy football, because I always was like, oh, I'm not that good. I'm not this good. But I think kids need to be encouraged to enjoy the game a lot more.
What experiences do you mean, Harry? I mean, if you don't mind telling the people that are listening, what experiences did you have?
So when I was six, I bought all the United kits, and that's why I support Man United now. And
good choice, Harry.
Oh yeah, definitely. So my mum thought it'd be a good idea to join me in with the sort of the local football club, and it was like in a little PE hall, and everyone just came to enjoy a bit of football. I went there for about a few months, I reckon, and I was doing really well. Really enjoyed my football. I loved football, to be honest. I didn't think I was, Ronaldo level. Do you know what I mean? So, I just really was enjoying it. But like, I wouldn't sort of join in with the training. I'd sort of just say I'm tired and not joining in the training, because I didn't really understand why we were doing training. So I'd just join in the match, and that was that. But over time, sort of, kids would go in into the older ages. I didn't want to go into the older ages. And then coaches started changing over and all that, and then they didn't quite understand my SEN. So eventually I left. I didn't really play football again until I was like 11.
So what? Wow! So from between the age of 6 and 11, because a club didn't understand you, you just stopped playing football?
Basically, yeah. And that's sort of what it can do to kids. If they have a bad experience in something, they could never do it again.
Mm.
You said
something really interesting. I'll let you come back to the lucky enough bit in a minute. But just before we move on, you said about how you realised that the training is as important as the matches. So if there's young people that go along to football and they think, oh God, why is that coach getting us to train? Why are we doing this drill? Why is that important, Harry, that you also have training and not just play the matches?
Well, I always say to the players of the Multi-Schools Football Club that the training's important, because you're not going to turn into a team overnight, and you're not going to turn into a proper team by just playing games.
Mm.
It's important to work on things as a team. So like, say, oh, we're not quite good in possession. Let's see if we can do some training to make us better in possession. And it's just as important, because in football, you learn things as a team. Great football teams learn things as a team.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And just as I interrupted you, Harry, you said that luckily, so you'd obviously gone from between the age of 6 and 11, not really playing football. And then you said luckily. What was lucky when you got to the age of 11? What helps you?
When I was 11, well, basically, since I was diagnosed with autism at 6 till 11, I couldn't get into SEN school, and my mum took me out of mainstream school when I was six. So it sort of fed into all that. My mum had like a 7-year battle trying to get me into market fields.
How many years?
A 7-year battle to get me into market fields. Mm. So eventually when I was 11, I got into market fields. And I think I remember one of the first days I was there. It was you, actually. You organised like a little football match in the football court.
Right.
And I hadn't played football since I was like six. I had little kickabouts in my garden, but I didn't really take it seriously. But I played football for the first time, well, properly in ages, and I wasn't as good as others and all that. But like, I came to that football court, and I enjoyed it as much as I did when I was 6 years old. First, it was amazing, and then I went on to play the school team. Went on to play for Ipswich Town disability team. It's from that day on, when I was 11, I went on to do so many amazing opportunities.
So the environment had to be right, Harry, for you to enjoy the football again.
Oh, definitely. That's the most important thing.
So, Harry, you could probably give some really kind of a good view on this. So, there could be children or even parents who may have a child that's going to a school, and it's a mainstream school, and it's not going very well for them, and they want to maybe move to a special school because they feel it would be better for their child, or that child feels it would be better for them. What was the big difference for you between mainstream school and a special school, and then why the special school was so good for you, Harry?
When I was in mainstream, I think people understand a bit more now, but back in like the early 2000s, not so much really.
What didn't they understand, Harry?
Well, I didn't have much language back then. I couldn't really talk. I couldn't really express what I needed.
Mm.
And they didn't really understand. I remember once, because I zone out quite a bit, and that's a difficulty I have where I zone out. I sort of wander into space.
Yeah.
Sort of just look into space and don't say anything. And once it was home time, and I was like sitting down, because they'd done story time. I was just sitting down, and I was just staring into space. And I remember a teacher actually physically shouted at me to get my coat. Like going, Harry, get your coat! Because she didn't understand that I was away with the fairies. So I wasn't there.
You think, people, when they're like that with you, Harry, and they don't really understand you, and they try and rush you, or they're quite short with you, that can really affect you, do you think?
Definitely. I'm still a bit like that now, to be honest. If, say, somebody's rude to me, I can get really anxious.
And so taking that forward, Harry, obviously you spoke about how maybe you didn't have that much language when you were young. You've now, I mean, you're obviously a coach, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you've also given speeches about autism and different things, haven't you, Harry? Do you want to just a little bit about what you've done there?
I struggled early in my life, and how, you know, going into special school obviously made it much easier for me to cope in life. And what I've really wanted to do is just raise awareness to give kids these confidence to do the things they want to do later in life. Like, if you'd have told me at 11 years old, I'd have been head coach of a football club, giving those opportunities to other kids, I'd have laughed.
Of course. So you're a good person then, Harry. So if there's someone out there listening, they could be 11, they could be younger, or even a couple of years older, and they want to coach in the future, or they want to go into something they enjoy, what advice would you give them, Harry?
My advice is always to go for it. As always, don't sort of go, oh, I wouldn't be quite good at that. If you feel like you can be good at something and that you want to do it, just please just go for it. Do everything you can to achieve your dreams, really. And if you get knocked back, keep coming up again, really.
I mean, and there's some people out there in the world that still believe children with autism are all the same, or children with autism can't go and do what they want to do. What would you say to those people, Harry?
Well, the autistic spectrum is such a big spectrum. Like, not every child's the same. Some children don't like it when you touch them. Some children don't like noise. I know Spectrum's very different for girls and boys.
Mm. So that's girls a good point, Harry. Mm.
Girls with autism can mask a lot more than boys.
Okay.
So they can seem like they haven't got autism. Yeah. Like my sister Lily, she can seem like she's very confident. Mm. But deep inside, she's really not. She's really just giving you a false interpretation of what she's really like.
Yeah. That, Harry, that's a really good point to make, because we've spoken with parents recently who may have daughters and they go to school. And because at school, everything seems on the outside like everything's okay. Yeah. When they get home or when they're in a different environment, they really struggle. So you've obviously seen that living with your sister, as you mentioned, Lily.
Yeah.
What would your kind of advice to schools be then, Harry? If they've got children in their class and, you know, they may seem quieter and they may be doing things they're not sure about why they're doing it, what advice would you give to them, Harry?
Be patient. Be as patient as you can.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're feeling.
That's a really good point, Harry. Just going back to the coaching side of things. So obviously you've mentioned the Multi-Schools Football Club is a fantastic football club. You and obviously some of your peers and your dad as well lead those sessions. What is it that you love about coaching, Harry?
Well, when I was playing, I got like a buzz from playing football. I think I get the same sort of buzz from coaching, from teaching players how to take a free kick, teaching players how to pass the ball to feet. I just love teaching players how to play football, and love the fact that I can give opportunities, and we can all give opportunities. The opportunities that I had, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're kind of giving something back to the young people you're working with. Now that's Harry. And so obviously at the moment, getting outside and playing football is quite hard. The Multi-Schools Football Club obviously isn't running because we are in lockdown. There may be young people who go to the club who may be listening to this podcast, and if they are, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to them at the moment if they're getting frustrated, if they're getting actually a bit down and upset about not being able to go and play on football on the football pitch? What can they do to keep their minds healthy? I know we spoke a bit before we came on.
Try and keep as active as possible. When I was younger and I didn't possibly go to football clubs, and I used to like put plant pots in front of me, and I'd dribble around the plant pots.
As long as I don't break the mum's plant pots.
Oh yeah, definitely. Make sure it hasn't got any nice plants in. But try and think of ways to work on football skills. Like if you've got a garden, if you've got a park, you can maybe go to as your one day of exercise. I know people with SEN that the government put like extra measures that you can go outside 2 times a day or something people with SEN.
Yeah.
So just use that time to work on your football skills, if you like, because that can be your one day of exercise when you're just kicking a football about and you're working on different things you want to work on.
Brilliant. I think that's some really good advice, Harry. What are you doing at the moment to keep kind of fit and healthy?
Well, I've started running. Long distances. I've started working out in my garden. I've got a punch bag at home so I can do a bit of boxing on that, and I play a bit of football out in my garden when I want to. And I'm just trying to keep my mind as active as possible so that I'm happy, if you know what I mean,
in these hard times. Yeah, no, I think that's some really good advice, Harry. And hopefully if there are some people listening that they can relate to that and think, yeah, actually, that's a really good idea. So just moving on a little bit now as well, coming on and doing this podcast, we're obviously doing this for a reason. Unfortunately, the opportunities for children with disabilities to play football and to progress in football is not great in this country.
No, it's not.
We've also done another podcast with my friend who coaches out in America, and it's very similar out there. In schools as well, we already spoke about how sometimes you speak from your own experience, Harry, of how people didn't show enough patience, enough understanding. What needs to change, Harry, in both football and schools for children with SEN? What needs to change?
Lee needs to be more understanding in schools. There needs to be more patience for kids to be able to do what they do, whether it's a football, whether it's athletics, whether it's tennis. They need to be encouraged to do whatever they enjoy. Football side of things, I know it needs to improve for kids with autism. We've got certain categories in the FA of things that we put under disability.
Yeah.
And various England teams under these disabilities. It's cerebral palsy, deaf, partially sighted, blind, but there's nothing for autism. In my eyes, I'm going to be a bit outspoken here, that sort of says to me that because I can't see it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Harry. Again, before we came onto this podcast, we have had questions sent in from us and comments about how if someone can't see something, sometimes it's not acknowledged. And you would say that, would you, Harry? That's the same in football, yeah?
It is, because we used to have an England learning disability team. And that would come under ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, autism.
They won the World Cup, didn't they, in 2002?
They did.
Yeah.
They were properly funded back then.
Yeah.
And these PDCs were player development centres for players to be developed to play for your England impairment groups. And I was lucky enough to get into one of them. But I spent about 2 years there, but the funding got cut for PDCs, and the FA put all of their money into cerebral palsy football, and they put them all into the Cerebral Palsy Centre of Excellence. And PDCs started to get ignored and underfunded. And these PDCs, I was playing with players with cerebral palsy. I was playing with players that were partially sighted, playing with amputees, you name it. Players with autism. It was a really mixed bag, but it worked.
Yeah.
And these PDC, and they'd train you up. You'd spend a couple of years there, and then you'd go on to trial for your England impairment groups, learn difficulties, blind, self-palsy, etc., deaf. And they're not about anymore. I can't see any PDCs anymore. All you can get is PAN disability, but there's no pathway for players to go on to. If you want a pathway, you've got to be in the centre of excellences, like cerebral palsy, but there's no centre of excellence for learning disability. What I would pledge to the FA, that there's such a broad scale of learning disability that I think we should have a specific impairment for autism.
Yeah,
and we should have autism centre of excellences and autism England teams.
Yeah, I think you make some really good points there, Harry. And if by chance anyone from the FA is listening to our podcast, or if you're listening to this and you have any contacts in that area, you could share this podcast and get those views from someone who has gone through the process himself, someone who now leads and coaches a disability team, and the opportunities aren't there. And it's not good enough that opportunities for children with mainstream or at mainstream clubs is different from children at disability level. So something needs to change. Harry's made some really good points there about what he feels could change, why it should change. So hopefully they can listen to this podcast and make a difference. So just to finish and close, Harry, just a few words from you. The Multi-Schools Football Club is open to children from the ages of 7 up to 16, and there's split age groups and coaching sessions for those children, and that's children with any area of SEN. What's your vision moving forward, Harry, for that football club?
In the near future, I'd like this club to play in Pacific tournaments, with the FA play more games. I would love this club to move to big ambitions, to be honest.
Like what, Harry? What big ambitions have you got?
Well, there's certain players I have in my team. If we had certain England teams, they would definitely be sent over there. If the FA want to fund it again, this club to maybe run a PDC.
Yeah.
And I'd like this club to be the voice of, players with autism and learning difficulties for the country, how important this is. These players view the game so differently to everyone else. like clubs need to look at players with autism and learning difficulties because they see the game completely different to everyone else.
You said about it's the environment and making sure that they're nurtured and coached in the correct way. And that's something that I know you're doing, Harry, and all the coaches at the Multi Schools Football Club are doing. So if yeah. you listen to this podcast and you want to go and find out more information about the football club, the football club has a Facebook page, which is the Multi Schools football team or football club. And you can go on there and look up. Obviously, we're not training at the moment because of everything that is going on. But thank you very much, Harry. And we hope that
you
found this podcast useful.
At the start of this series, we mentioned how these series of podcasts have been dedicated to a very special lady who played a massive role in my life. And sadly, just at the start of releasing these podcasts, passed away. I know that many people listening to this podcast may have been touched in different ways by different things that have happened over the last few months. But this series is dedicated to the very special woman who is Keris Emery, who without her, I would not have got through school. And I would not have gone into teaching. She inspired me to try and make a difference, just like she made a difference in my life. And the change in song at the end of this podcast is dedicated to her.
Tell me, what does it look like in heaven? Is it peaceful? Is it free like they say? Does the sun shine bright forever? Have your fears and your pain gone away? 'Cause here on earth it feels like everything good is missing since you left. And here on earth everything's different. There's an emptiness. Oh, I hope you're dancing in the sky, and I hope you're singing in the angels' choir, and I hope the angels know what they have. I'll bet it's so nice up in heaven since you arrived.